baptism, penance, Holy Eucharist, confirmation, holy orders, matrimony, the anointing of the sick. Be with us now as Father Frank Pavone leads us to a deeper understanding of the unique signs instituted by Christ on Reflections of the Sacraments. And now, Father Pavone.
Hello, this is Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life. It's a pleasure to be speaking to you once again. And we're speaking in this series about the sacraments of the Church, these seven special gifts that the Lord has given to us to help us to come closer to Him and to fill us with His life. And we've been speaking about the sacrament of confession, sacrament of penance or reconciliation. I have spoken about the basic elements of this particular sacrament, why it's so important to go, and, people say, well, you know, why do I have to go to a priest for confession? Well, why do you have to go to a priest for any sacrament? The reason is that the Lord has established the sacramental gifts as an aspect of His Church, and the question in religion is not simply what is meaningful to me, but rather what is meaningful to God. What does He want us to do, and how does He want us to worship Him? And confession is one of those ways. We've spoken about the obligation that we have to confess each mortal sin that we've committed, and we have given in the previous show some examples of what these mortal sins are. And we are obliged to confess how frequently we've committed them and what kind they are, and as best as we remember. So let's continue reflecting a little bit about some of the elements of this sacrament. I have mentioned that it is valuable to go frequently to confession. You know, there are confessions of necessity, as we call them. This is when we have a mortal sin and we just got to get to confession to get back into the life of God. But then there are confessions of devotion. And it's very, very beneficial to us to confess even our venial sins. Now, every sin is terribly bad because it offends Almighty God. But venial sins are forgiven in various different ways, not only by confession. And yet it is extremely valuable to confess these sins on a regular basis. Why? Because when we go to confession, we're receiving a sacrament, which means that we are receiving an increase of grace. We're not only getting our sins forgiven, we're receiving grace to avoid sin in the future. We're also receiving the benefit of the guidance of the priest, because, you know, when we go on our own to God, God speaking back to us can become, in our own mind, confused. We can miss His message. Because not only do we hear God, we hear ourselves speaking to ourselves very often. And we might be too hard on ourselves, or we might be too easy on ourselves. It is very easy for human beings to rationalize what they are doing, or on the other hand, to become self-punishing. And the sacrament of confession frees us from that, because we have a live person on the other end of what we are saying to guide us, to encourage us, to correct us. And, you know, maybe sometimes that's exactly what we do not want, and that's what keeps many people away from confession, because we tend to want to think and evaluate things on our own way and on our own terms, and don't want to be afraid of being corrected by someone else. But the correction can be a tremendously beneficial thing for us. Don't be afraid to come to confession, and to come frequently. Now, sometimes people wonder if they should confess their past sins or not. And I say to them, well, you know, it depends what you're asking. If we know that the sins have been forgiven, but we want to confess them again simply, you know, to renew our sorrow and to receive deeper graces of humility and avoiding the sins in the future, yes, it's fine. We mention in confession, gee, Father, I'd like to mention this past sin or these past sins, and go ahead and confess them. But if we are confessing our past sins because we don't believe that they were forgiven, we better look at that a little bit more closely. If you have confessed them in confession and you're sorry for them and the priest gave you absolution, those sins are forgiven. Now, in the scriptures we read that Almighty God casts our sins into the depths of the sea. This is an Old Testament prophecy, and one of the preachers on this passage has commented that after God casts our sins into the depths of the sea, he puts up a sign which says, no fishing. We shouldn't be fishing back to bring up old sins if in doing so we are not so sure that they are forgiven. They are forgiven if we've confessed them with sorrow and we've received the absolution. So be careful of falling into that kind of doubt. The sacrament of penance is a sacrament of peace. In fact, in the prayer of absolution, the priest says, may God grant you pardon and peace. Not only the pardon, but the peace that comes after that. God, St. Paul says to the Corinthians, is a God of order, not of confusion. Troubling and upsetting thoughts about whether we're really forgiven or not are not from God. This can get people into an area which is known in the spiritual life as scrupulosity. Scrupulosity is a terribly crippling kind of spiritual weakness in which we either think that we're committing a sin when we're really not, or we can't get it through our own mind and heart that we're really forgiven and that everything's okay between us and God. Scrupulosity is a haunting kind of a thing. And, you know, there have been stories of people who have gotten into this so badly that they felt that, turning the doorknob the wrong way was somehow a mortal sin. And people can really get into a mental framework where they really think things like that. Let me tell you, if you've ever been in scrupulosity, or are in it, or know someone who is, let me give you a piece of advice. The only way out is obedience. We have to obey a spiritual director, and we have to obey completely. We cannot reason ourselves out of scrupulosity, because in scrupulosity, one of the problems is that because of an emotional insecurity, our reason isn't working. And the more we try to think about the situation, the more deep we get into the maze from which we aren't finding our way out. The only way out is obedience. And the sooner and the more completely that the person obeys his or her spiritual direction when they are in scrupulosity, the sooner they'll get out of it. The temptation is to be reasoning through the whole thing and to say to the to say to oneself, even after you've explained it to a priest, oh well, he doesn't really understand. Well, whether he understands or not, the point is, the only way out is to obey. Now, when we go to confession, we have the option of retaining our anonymity and going behind the screen, or of going to the priest face to face. And we as priests have an obligation to provide for people the opportunity to go anonymously. We should not ever put a person in a situation where they are forced to reveal to us who they are. Now, sometimes people will make it clear who they are because they'll just come up to us and say, well, Father, can I go to confession? And I, as well as other priests, have heard confession in some unusual places, and we're willing to hear confessions at any reasonable time or place upon the request of any of the faithful. But the point of the matter is that we are not the ones to decide that you should lose your anonymity. Even in situations where there's not a confessional setup, where there's a screen, we can still provide anonymity. For example, even if it's just a room and someone says, well, geez, Father, there's some people there that want to go to confession, that doesn't mean they have to go face-to-face. You can set up three chairs very easily. You can have two chairs facing each other, and then you can have a third chair, which is behind the one that the priest is sitting in, so that the person can sit in it, and the priest cannot see them, but nevertheless he can hear them. And that's something really that should be done to provide people this this option of anonymity. I, in my parish, was in a situation where people had the choice, and I found still when they had the choice, most people preferred to go behind the screen. But either way, It is an option that is provided. Now, there is something called general confession that is important for us to know about. A general confession is the confession of all the sins of our past life, or of all the sins since our last general confession. Now, this is not something that is done frequently. This is something that is done once in a while in our life. There might be a major points in our life, for example, before someone is going to be married, or in extreme sickness in older age, or at some point where some major change in their life is taking place. It is a good idea to make a general confession. And again, this is not because the sins are not forgiven. They are forgiven. But it's in order to, again, bring our whole life before the Lord, renew our sorrow for any way that we've offended Him, and make a fresh beginning with a deep sense of peace and a deep sense of starting again. And this is something that is extremely, extremely beneficial. Now, there's another phenomenon that takes place that many people may find hard to understand. There are some circumstances in confession where a priest needs to refuse absolution. Now, you know in the passage in St. John's Gospel where Jesus gives the apostles the authority to forgive sins, he says, whose sins you forgive are forgiven, but whose sins you retain, they are retained. There are certain situations where we cannot give the absolution of sins. We always want to. I have had to withhold absolution in my own practice of confession a number of times, not frequently, but there have been times. In fact, I think that if a priest is hearing confession over the course of several years and has never once in those years had to refuse absolution, that maybe it's time to take a look at what kind of guidance he's following in terms of when to absolve, because there are situations in which the person who's confessing the sins is obviously not sorry for them. Now, I say obviously not sorry. Let me give you an example. If a person comes to confession and says, Father, I hate this individual in my life, the thing that I would ask them is, well, are you willing at least to pray for this person? Because, you know, the Lord commanded us to pray for our enemies. And if we can at least pray for a person, then we're not totally separating them from our love. Suppose the person says, no, I cannot even pray for this person. I hate this person. Well, do you mean you deliberately hate this person? Yes, I hate this person. Well, I'm sorry, but I want to absolve you. I want to give you God's forgiveness. But even if I said the prayer of absolution right now, it wouldn't work, because you're blocking yourself off from God's forgiveness by failing to forgive someone else. In fact, you're not even praying for that person, or at least you could ask God for the grace to forgive that person. But you know, some people are not even willing to do that. This is a deliberate form of hatred, and the person cannot be forgiven in that case. They can be forgiven as soon as they're ready to start going the other way. But if we're reinforcing that hatred, well, you know yourself, the Lord has said it in the gospel. He says, unless you forgive your brother from your heart, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. He says it when he teaches us the Our Father, and he also gives us a very powerful example of it in the 18th chapter of Matthew's gospel. Or another example, let's say that a man and a woman who are not married are having sexual relations with each other on a regular basis. And let's say that they confess that, but then say, okay, are you willing to make efforts to, you know, avoid the occasions of sin? Well, no, we're not. We don't see any reason why we should stop doing this. We love each other. Well, can that person be absolved until they recognize that what they're doing is wrong, until they make an effort to try to change it? Until they at least see that it's wrong and make an effort to avoid the occasions of sin, they're not ready yet for the absolution. See, sometimes people will confess things in confession, but not necessarily be really sorry for it. and we would not withhold absolution unless it is very, very, very clear that to absolve would be making a mockery of the sacrament because the person simply is not sorry. And so what we try to do in that point is to elicit the sorrow, and we try to talk with the person and see them why, show them why they should be sorry for that sin, because there is nothing we want more than to be able to bestow that forgiveness, and there's nothing that Christ wants more than to be able to forgive. If you just tuned in, this is Father Frank Pavone, of National Director of Priests for Life, and we're talking about the sacrament of penance here. We're talking about this marvelous sacrament of confession. The formula for confession is really marvelous. And let's listen to the words that the priest actually says to a person when he absolves them of their sins. God, the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of his Son, has reconciled the world to himself and sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. Through the ministry of the Church, may God give you pardon and peace. And I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice the words. God is the Father of mercies. And the very reason that this sacrament exists is because he has reconciled the world to himself in Christ. And it's from the death and resurrection of Christ that the sacrament receives its power. And then the Holy Spirit brings the forgiveness of sins. And this forgiveness now is being brought to the person through the ministry of the Church. And what's being brought is not only the pardon, but the peace. And then the priest says, and these are the essential words of the sacrament, I absolve you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The moment of confession is a moment for the forgiveness of sins. Now, spiritual direction is something that is different. Spiritual direction is very valuable. Many people take advantage of it, and what it means is that you allow another person, usually a priest, but it might be another person who is trained in the spiritual life and whom you trust, and you open up to this person the workings of your own inner life. You let this person know what's going on in your relationship with God and your efforts to do his will and to follow his ways, and you let that person look with you towards Christ. And to say, well, Lord Jesus, I'm not only seeking to please you, I'm going to let this other person in on what's going on, as far as I can tell, and let them look with me and see if they can shed any light on my efforts to serve you and to please you and see if I can't do it better. That's the spiritual direction. Now, spiritual direction requires two basic things. A lot of honesty and a lot of obedience. Those are the two big components of good spiritual direction, if it's not going to be a waste of time. We have to be honest with our spiritual director and don't hold anything back. You should be an open book. And at the same time, obedience, which means obedience whether you like it or not. The only way to get beyond the limitations that our own mind and our own feelings impose on us is to be willing to obey something that we don't understand the reasons for, but that we are obeying precisely because we trust the other person. Now, confession should be a part of spiritual direction, and personally I recommend that the spiritual director, if he is a priest, be also the one who hears your confession, because after all, in order for the priest to spiritually guide you in the best way, he should know, you know, what's going on in your life in terms of the sins that you need to overcome. That doesn't mean that he's the only priest you can ever go to confession to, but it does mean that you do go to confession to him at least some of the time. And there is, however, the need to point out the difference between confession and spiritual direction. You know, nowadays that we have the face-to-face option with confession, there is a benefit in the sense that the priest is able to give a little bit more direction than he might otherwise give from behind the screen. But at the same time, we shouldn't confuse the two. Confession is for the forgiveness of sins, and certainly there is room there for the priest to give helpful advice and for the person to ask necessary questions. But it is not the same as a spiritual direction session, and a distinction should be made between the two. Confession can take place within a session of spiritual direction, but it is two different things. Spiritual direction is very, very helpful for us, and at some times in our life we need it more than at other times. There may be times of crisis where we really need to get some spiritual guidance to get through a particular phase of our life, or it may be in reference to choosing a particular course of life, a person trying to figure out whether or not they should marry somebody or whether or not they should become a religious brother or sister or a priest. These are times when spiritual direction can be particularly necessary. A person who is giving spiritual direction should at the same time be getting spiritual direction from someone else. And we can use spiritual direction just for growth in holiness. And the frequency with which we go is also going to vary according to the circumstances in our life. Sometimes we can get along with going for a significant amount of time without the spiritual direction. At other times we need it as frequently as every week. Getting back to a few points about confession itself, we should notice that people are going to make better use of confession the more it is made available to them. And I've seen this as a priest many times. The more easily we make confession available, the more people come. In the parish in which I served, we had long lines of confession every weekend. And when I say long lines, I mean we went for hours on end without interruption, and these were not long confessions. People would just come in, and they kept coming. And why? Well, because we preached about it, and all the priests in that parish preached about it very clearly. And we were very clear with people about what sins needed to be confessed. And we told them what those sins were. And we made it available, and we had confessions at times that were very close to the times of the Mass. As a matter of fact, I remember one Sunday, we had a Sunday evening Mass, 5:30 Mass, and I preached about confession that particular day. And as I was preaching, I said to myself, gee, what better way to urge them to come back to confession than to offer confession right after the Mass? So I said, well, folks, I'm talking to you about the value of confession, and I tell you what, after the Mass is over, I'm going to go into the confessional, and I will be available there for as long as I need to be there. So I went into the confessional after Mass, and so many people got online that the other two priests had to get into their confessionals too. And we had a marvelous night of confession. And the following Sunday, we did the same thing. And it became a regular part of the parish schedule, Sunday evening Masses. Well, what made the difference? What made the difference is, well, the people were there already. It's much easier for people to take advantage of confession when they're already there than to have to make an extra trip in the middle of a busy Saturday afternoon. Make confession available. I encourage priests to make it available as generously as they possibly can, and to take advantage of going to confession themselves. The more we as priests go to confession frequently, the more sensitive we're going to be to people on the other end of the confessional. I remember times, as a matter of fact, when the confession lines were so long that I actually had people bring me my lunch inside the confessional, and I've had hamburgers and spaghetti brought to me. And I mean, there were days, really, when it was, especially around the holidays, where we had hours and hours on end of confessions. And it is really, you know, it's very inspiring for the priest. Some people say, oh, well, I'm going to be embarrassed by the priest, you know, because I have to say all these terrible things. Well, I'll tell you the truth, from the perspective of a priest, it inspires us. When we hear you confessing things that we know are so hard to confess, it inspires us. And we are in admiration of your faith, of your humility, and of your eagerness to receive the forgiveness of Christ. And I'll tell you something else. We don't remember what you say. Some people have said to me, you know, especially if they come face to face. They say, well, gee, I feel funny confessing this because the next time, you know, I see you, I'm going to feel funny because you're going to think about this sin that I committed. Well, you know, I don't see anything about this in the catechism, but from my own experience of priesthood, I've come to believe that there's such a thing as the grace of forgetfulness. It's a special grace that God gives to priests. That, you know, I mean, I've had people come to me in confession, believe it or not, who have come face to face, and after the experience, not only have I not remembered their sins, but I haven't even remembered that they came to me for confession. And the reason I know that is that at a future time, they reminded me that they had come to me for that confession. Oh, and then I remember when they reminded me, but otherwise, it's not something we think about because we know that it is a piece of knowledge that we can never use. There is something called the seal of confession. It is the most solemn secret that exists on the face of the earth. Nothing can ever justify us telling the sins of somebody in confession. You know, if you came to me to confession, you said, I stole 5 cents. If I told somebody else that you told me that you stole 5 cents, I would be excommunicated from the church, right on the spot. That's how serious the seal of confession is. I cannot say to anyone, and I would never want to say to anyone, what somebody told me in confession. So you can completely trust this sacrament. You can completely trust your priests. Believe me, brothers and sisters, we know what it's like. We go to confession ourselves. We want the peace that comes from God's forgiveness, and we want to give you that peace as well. Let's pray for all those who might be away from the sacrament, that they will return quickly. And God bless you for listening. This is Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life. We're happy to come to you in this series.
Thank you for joining us for Reflections of the Sacraments, presented by Father Frank Pavone, Director of Priests for Life.